Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, from the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ, and we would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. You can give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. You have any questions for any of my co-hosts on this radio show, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call to Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Live radio show. This is a special edition.
Love us and the light, and the light, and the light.
We will spread.
Around the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light radio show. This is a special edition. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray you'll be my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, on the show this evening as he breaks unto us the bread of life. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless his family that support his efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you'll be with our listeners this evening who are tuning in through Blog Talk Radio and also through social media. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. For we know our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast this evening. Our speaker on the show this evening is my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock. He serves as the evangelist for the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ there in Tallahassee, Florida. He'll be making this proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the broadcast this evening. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds. And after the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock. Enjoy the show.
Hallelujah.
How many can testify this morning that the Lord is worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor? Gave his life on Calvary for a sinner like you and me. So we ought to just give God the highest praise, just to tell him thank you. Y'all want to help me this morning? Won't you help me sing hallelujah? Help me sing, yeah, yeah. No, he's worthy of praise, glory and honor. I'm gonna give him the highest praise for all of my days. Y'all don't mind, just let me tell you a few reasons why we should praise him. Come on. See, it's God that woke us all up this morning. Yeah, clothes on the back, food on the table. You look unable. Why we gotta give him the highest praise? That ain't all he done, all he done. With nails in his hands, nails in his feet, for a sinner like you and me. That's why we ought to praise him endlessly. Y'all, we didn't deserve it, no. Come on, we gotta give him all praise. Then y'all come on and help me sing this song right here. I said, let the Spirit, let it rise. Come on, let the Spirit, let it rise. The praises of our King, he's our King. Well, I'm gonna, and you wanna, we gotta, hey. I'm gonna let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord sing. Let the glory of the Lord. You ought to let it rise. The Lord has been good to you. You gotta let it rise. Somebody say it. The praises and what the blessings come pouring down. So we gotta let it rise. Lift your voice and sing. This song right here. Come on. Tell them. I said, Lord, the people praise
you.
Say,
Lord, the people praise you.
You know we lift you up and praise you, Lord. Hey, Lord, you are the Holy One. Yes, you are, Lord. You're the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're the only one.
I said, Lord, the people love you.
Lord, the people love you.
And we place nobody above you, Lord. Because you are the Holy One. Hey, Lord, said you're the one, you're the only one. Come on, everybody sing, holly, holly, hallelujah.
Holly, holly, hallelujah.
All the glory is to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, you are the Holy One. Hey, Lord,
you're the one,
you're the only one.
You're the one, you're the only one.
I said, if I had 10,000 tongues,
if I had 10,000 tongues,
I would bless you with everyone.
I would bless you with everyone.
Oh, Lord, you are Holy One.
You are the Holy One.
If I had 10,000 hands,
if I had 10,000 hands,
I would bless you as you command.
I would bless you as you command.
You are the Holy One.
You are the Holy One.
You're the one, you're the only one. Lift those hands. Let me hear you say, holy, holy, hallelujah.
Oh, Lord,
let all the glory is due.
You're the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're the only one.
Nobody
but you, Lord. You're the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're the only one.
Hallelujah. Give him the praise.
Hallelujah.
You're worthy, Lord, forever and ever.
Yes, we are.
up holy hands, give you praise. See, we want you to know, Lord, words can't express how it feels inside. We think about your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. I can't help but praise your holy name.
You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. This is a special edition. Now, my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, and his subject, Contemporary Meanings from the First Gospel Message.
Thank you very much, Brother Butler, and I bring you greetings again from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, where it all comes together spiritually. I can't say enough, Brother Butler, just how grateful I am to be able to be a part of a program like this. It's truly a dream come true. My father did a television open forum years ago in Michigan, and I thought that maybe at some point I would take that mantle and I would do something like that, but the Lord said something different. And then the Lord gave me the opportunity to be a part of this particular program where we answer questions and we make proclamations. And so I'm definitely honored to be a part of your co-host panel and to be able to, in this case tonight, basically be a ram in the bush, because another fine evangelist was scheduled to actually speak. But various ones of us always are taking care of each other, and so we're going to do that on tonight. I was able to deliver this message last month to the saints and to the public here at in Tallahassee, and I'm hoping and praying that as I proclaim it again in this format, in this particular way, that other souls can be blessed, not because Patrick Medlock is on Facebook or Patrick Medlock is delivering something on the Blog Talk Radio format, but that the word of God that is delivered by the man of God can actually help the people of God. And I'm hoping and praying that if you are a person who affiliates yourself with Christianity or Christendom, that you are willing to take a few minutes to share with me, allow me to share with you what the thus saith the Lord with regard to the first gospel message. The idea of the gospel is the good news. Peter was specifically selected to be the one that would deliver that first gospel sermon. And in doing so, he had come from a particular background where he had been swearing like a sailor before he was able to preach like an apostle. And as I give you the hashtag on this message, which is entitled hashtag from Peter to Patrick, I think about my own journey to come to this point where I am ministering and in this format and in the other ways in which I'm attempting to minister, that I have my own story as to how I got here and how I'm doing and have done other things. And yet God is able to always take people who you might not think might typically be the ones that might proclaim his word to be able to be the ones that stand before you and are able to articulate God's word in this way and in this fashion. And so I'm pleased to be able to do that on tonight. If you will, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Romans 15 tells us in verse number 4, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. When Paul wrote that, he was speaking of the Old Testament writ, where you had the Psalms and you had the wisdom literature, as well as what the prophets had wrote, and that's how they kind of categorized things, the writings versus those that were from the prophets. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that not only do we have the Old Testament, but now we have the New Testament writ, that really, even though it was written long ago, it has an important message for us. So let me share with you what Peter did as he finished this first gospel sermon, as it were, in Acts 2 and verse 36, where the Bible says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain," this New American Standard Version of the Bible, "that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, the Bible says, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Please go with me on this journey as I again explore the contemporary meaning from the first gospel message. Hashtag from Peter to Patrick, the goal of our instruction is still love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. I'm only going to give you 2 points, but I'm going to thoroughly flesh those 2 points out this evening as we deliver this message, and then the message will be yours. Here's the first point that I want you to take from this, that when Peter says in Acts 2 and 38 to repent, this is actually the culmination of the repentance mandate. Because if you're not aware, the Bible really has only one interpretation. It has the meaning that the person who wrote it or said it had on his heart, as well as what the listeners or what the readers would have understood that he said. And so when we can have a handle as to what it would have meant in the context in which it was being given, then that helps us to better understand and know how better to adopt some particular meanings associated with what was actually said. Because a lot of us will divorce ourselves from the actual intent interpretation of the writers and then make it say what we want to say. And I'm hoping that you can appreciate my approach, that I'm going to tell you tonight that you need to repent. So let's first of all get that out of the way. There are people who are listening to this message where the old advisement that Peter gave when he says, "Repent," when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That applies to you, and it applies to me today. But let me tell you why, that out of all the things that he could have said, because he could have said, "Well, we can just pray about it." But he could have said, "You know what, if you go out and if you are actually good for a period of time, then maybe you'll become worthy. He could have said something like, if you pay a particular amount in the offering, then you're saved. Or he could have said other things that maybe we hear today, where today we hear things like, all you have to do is pray the sinner's prayer. Or we hear today that, you know what, all you have to do is tarry for the Holy Ghost, or all you have to do is believe and you're saved. But that is not what Peter said. When they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Out of all the things that he could have said, out of all the things that we hear being said today, Peter came out and said, repent. And it's important, I think, that we understand contextually and why that was what came out of his mouth. Because when you look at it, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pierced to the heart. Peter says, initially repent. I need to take you back to Ezekiel chapter 18. Because earlier in Acts, Ezekiel chapter 18, and this is even in the Old Testament, the Bible had already said, the prophet was already being told by God, all souls are mine, in verse number 4. The souls of the Father as well as the souls of the Son. So he's telling Jeremiah, or rather Ezekiel, to tell the people the soul that sins, that's the one that's going to die. And then he proceeds to walk through, because just like people today, and I continue to hear it over and over, we have generational curses. Well, Ezekiel 18 helps to defeat, even in the Old Testament, that God wasn't into giving generational curses as far as his will and way was concerned. And that, hey, if a person sins, then they will be culpable for that sin. That won't be passed on to other generations. And even if you're righteous, that won't be passed on to other generations. Each generation, each individual needs to be righteous on his own. And once he makes that case in verse 30 of Ezekiel 18, the Bible says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live. So can't you imagine Peter being buoyed by not only the Holy Spirit that's guiding him, but by his knowledge of Scripture, scriptures like this, which helps you to understand that the decision whether or not to repent is truly a spiritual life or death decision. It makes a lot of sense that when the context says, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first thing that comes out of Peter's mouth is to repent. Because that same mantra, that same concept had already been put forth when we look at Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14. Go ahead and take a moment to turn your Bibles over there to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14. Jesus had just come out of the water, and then he had just gone through his wilderness experience with Satan. And the Bible says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. And look at what Jesus is preaching. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So it appears that you had Jesus who was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You had Jesus' disciples when he sent them out in Matthew chapter 10 And later on, when he sent the 70 out, they were saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John, of course, was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it makes a lot of sense, and even John's disciples were preaching, even while he was in prison, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So doesn't it make a lot of sense that at this point in the gospel, as we see the gospel has actually now come to a point where the repentance mandate becomes real, because the kingdom is not just at hand, now the kingdom is here. The actual things that John the Baptist was doing in baptizing all those individuals, he was baptizing them with a baptism to repentance. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. So when Peter is there and he's saying to the individuals that are there, and if you read the context of Acts chapter 2, there were Jews and proselytes. And proselytes, if you don't know, are people who have recently adopted the Jewish religion. They were there from every, and they were still learning it, from every nation under heaven, they were there. So you had, you normally may have had maybe, so many thousand people, and basically it became a real crowded space in Jerusalem when the day of Pentecost came, and you had all of these people coming from all of these nations under heaven to come and to worship God. And when the sound from heaven came of a rushing mighty wind, and these men received the Holy Spirit, and it appears as they were speaking in tongues that they were drunk. And Peter says, look, these men aren't drunk, but he says in verse 17, that it was spoken of them by the prophet Joel, it shall come upon in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. So the idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is that this repentance thing, and primarily even with John and with Jesus and with his disciples, it had been a Jewish thing. But the interpretation of the actual writ here is now letting you know that this Holy Spirit that now was going to pervade here on the day of Pentecost was now going to not just become a Jewish thing, but it would eventually be spread to the Gentiles. So he foreshadows that by saying it's going to go on all of mankind. Verse 21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when you see that orientation there, it helps us to understand further what Paul would later teach in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. You guys may remember, and many of you who have been Bible scholars and associated with the Bible and with our doctrine and our teaching, you're very familiar with verse 30, where the Bible says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere, because that's what Joel said needed to happen, should repent. So repentance needed to be the thing that came out of Peter's mouth. Because Paul sums it up when he says, verse 31, because he has fixed the day of Acts 17 in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And so you get in Romans chapter 1, Paul further doubling down on this point when he says, I am debtor, King James, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise as well as to the unwise. He's saying this is not just a Jewish thing. I got to preach it to the Greeks. I got to preach it to the barbarians. I got to preach it to the Scythians. I got to preach it to those that are already have some level of wisdom, and they already understand that there is a God and he is alive, and I got to preach it to some of those people who are worshiping the unknown God and just consider him one of the other fake gods when there's only one real God. Regardless of who you are, I am debtor. I am obligated. I am motivated. I am concerned to preach this gospel to any and all of these individuals. Inasmuch as in me is, verse 15, that I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first. Peter needed to preach the gospel of repentance to those Jews that were first there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, knowing that as this gospel gets spread to the Jew first, eventually he'd be able to go out to Mars Hill and the city of Athens and preach it to the Gentiles also, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the modern day meaning of this is very, very clear, and that is everybody needs to repent. There isn't anybody who has any moral high ground. There isn't anybody who we should just say, oh, it's really not for them. Everyone needs to repent. If you got minus 14 cents in your bank account, you need to repent. If you got $1.4 billion in your bank account, you need to repent. If you're a Republican, you need to repent. If you're a Democrat, you need to repent. If you're a person who has some high education and you've got your terminal degree, then you need to repent. If you're a person that you got your PhD in common sense, you need to repent. If you live on the South Side, you need to repent. If you live uptown, you need to repent. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your social class, regardless of whether you think that you got it going on or not, because a lot of people have spread, the devil has been very, very good in spreading lies and deceit that would make you think that if I have my education, if I have my money, if I have my job, if I maintain my status, that means God is with me and that things will be well. You must be living right, is what the devil has put out there. When you need to listen to the old advisement that Peter gave when he said that what must you do? All of us must repent. Make the decision that we're going to stop doing what's wrong. Because a lot of us have based our morality based on the fact that nobody else is saying anything to us, and so it must be okay. Or if God is still allowing me to keep my money and to keep my position and to keep my status or to do those other things, that it must be okay. When Peter is still telling you, and I, as Patrick Metlock, here in 2020, I'm telling you, you need to repent. See, because I'll tell you this, God is sending a message to us by taking people like Kobe and Gianna at the time that they're being taken to let you know that, number one, we never know where death is, and we need to repent, and we need to repent today. Because that advisement in verse 31 of Acts chapter 17 that says, for God has fixed a day, so that day could be tomorrow. That day could be before the end of the day today. And if you haven't repented, then your soul will be lost. The contemporary meaning is, regardless of who you are, regardless of whether you think that you've been predestined or not, all of us need to repent. Here's the second point, because it's the second part of the advisement that Peter gave, because he didn't just say repent, ladies and gentlemen. He also says, and be baptized, every one of you. Repent, and every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness, New American Standard, the remission, King James, of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I'll hold off the Holy Ghost part for right now. I want you to think about that for a second, because it wasn't repent and pray. It wasn't repent and give. It wasn't repent and tarry. It wasn't any of those types of things. He said, repent, and then what must I do to be saved? The advisement was repent and then be baptized. Now, I've told you in that time why repentance was the logical thing to do. It was the message that we had seen in the Old Testament, and it was the recurring refrain that we heard from Jesus, from John the Baptist, from Jesus' disciples, for John's disciples at that time. So why, out of all the things that he could have said, that he says right here, be baptized, or just believe, or just call on the name of the Lord. All of these is what we hear people say, just pray, just believe, just call on his name. That's not what the first preacher of the gospel said here. Why would he have said it to that group? And why should we care about it today? See, because as I look at what's happening today, I say to people, be baptized, and you guys tell me I've already been baptized. Why do I need to do it again? Why were you baptized? Well, you know what? Everybody else is getting baptized, and that's what we did. So we waited till the fourth Sunday or the last Thursday of the month or the first Sunday, and that's when we did it, and it was an outward show of an inward grace, and it's just something that my grandmama or my mama or whatever wanted me to do, so that's what I did. Or you're seeing people today sprinkling water on babies, and they're saying that constitutes a baptism that allows that person to be consecrated and saved. And it doesn't. None of those scenarios seem to fit the what and the why as to why Peter here says that you need to be baptized. But I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the commencement of what we see from the apostles here of the Christian practice of baptism. Let me help to establish that, because if you understand why Peter would say repent, and why Peter would say be baptized, it'll help you to understand that from Peter to Pastor Patrick, the directive hasn't changed. We still need to repent. For really, it's really all the same reasons. And I'm going to demonstrate to you in a minute something that many, maybe some of our individuals in the Church of Christ don't even know, as many times as we have revisited the Acts gospel, the book of Acts, the chapter is 2, and the writ that's there. But look at Matthew chapter 21 first and verse number 25. Matthew 21 and verse number 25. The Bible says, now this is where the elders and the chief priests of the people were challenging him, because they were at a point now where they're trying to catch him in something so they can legitimize dragging him to Pilate, or to the chief priest, and then eventually to Pilate. So they asked him, by what authority, in verse 23, do you do these things? And then Jesus ends up saying, I will ask you one thing, and I will tell you by what authority I'll do these things after you answer my question. Verse 25, the baptism of John, was it from what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. So in verse 27, the Bible says, and they answered, Jesus said, we do not know. And he says, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now I point to this message, to this particular anecdote from Jesus, because I want you to understand why Jesus would even reference the baptism of John and why those Jewish religious leaders would respond in that way. Because there were all types of baptism, all types of purification rituals that had been authorized by the law of Moses, but also things that even over time the elders and the leaders of the people had instituted. But one of the ones that goes back to the law of Moses is that if you go out and you touch a dead body, then you got to go and, in essence, get baptized, go baptize yourself, go immerse yourself so that you can be cleansed. Or let's say that you had touched or somehow been defiled by a woman who's on her period. Then that's one of the things that would cause you to, in essence, have to go and go through that cleansing and purification ritual that in Christianity we would call baptism. And so when John the Baptist, and there were several other instances and reasons why they would go through those purifications, they would go through those rituals, and so even though the Old Testament doesn't call it baptism, it's a term that the Jews in particular were already familiar with. Because when you look at what happened in Acts chapter 2, where I read that there were 3,000 souls saved, I want y'all to think about that for a second. Because unless they were right by a body of water, you know, that's a lot of people to go to one little pool and get baptized. But the idea of rituals and baptism was common at the temple, so there were all kinds of mikvahs that were basins that were all throughout the temple where they were having baptisms all over the place to try to get those 3,000 people saved. You know how you're at Walmart and you appreciate when they got a lot of the lines and you're trying to go to the shortest line? They had lots of different pools around to baptize those 3,000 souls. And so I want you to understand and know that John's baptism, when it came along, there had been 400 years of silence, and then John came along and said, I'm going to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and I'm going to baptize you with the baptism of repentance for you to wait until the actual kingdom comes. So John was baptizing people with the understanding that they would not be saved, but that it would in essence be a baptism that would help them get ready, in essence, for the real baptism. And that is the real baptism that happens when you get in the kingdom of God and you become a member of the Church of Christ. So listen to me for a second when I say to you that you had John's baptism that they weren't willing to accept because he was a prophet. And as a prophet, if the prophet is asking you to get baptized, then it's something that everybody should do. And that's why he said, was the baptism of John coming from heaven? And if you leaders are saying it's from heaven, then you should have done it too. So he had them trapped because the people clearly thought that John was a prophet, that it came from heaven, and that they can't say it came from men if they're willing to not deny that John was not a prophet. And they weren't willing to do that. But let me get to the greater point of this. And that is that those Jews and those proselytes that were there from every nation under heaven, including Palestine, where John had been and Jesus had been, and John's disciples and Jesus' disciples had been, they all had had exposure to baptism prior to Acts 2. Barnes' notes on Matthew 3 and 6 says, washings was much in use amongst the Jews as one of the rites of their religion. Numbers 19:7, Hebrews 9 and 10. It's not customary, however, amongst them to baptize those who were converted to Judaism until after the Babylonian captivity. So at the time of John and for some time previous, they had been accustomed to administer a rite of baptism or washing to those who became proselytes to that religion, that is, to those who were converted from being Gentiles. So in essence, of all those proselytes that were there at Jerusalem, they had already been baptized. They had already been taken down into the water and converted to Judaism. And you had people that were there who had gone through John's baptism. You had people who were there who had gone through Jesus' baptism. You had people that were there who had been baptized by John the Baptist. You had people that were there that had been baptized by Jesus' disciples. So you had all kinds of people who had gone through a baptism, and yet Jesus has the Holy Spirit come down and endow Peter to preach this gospel. And he says, you need to repent to get into the kingdom. Not that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you need, the kingdom is here. In order to get into it, you need to repent. And now you need to be baptized, and not as a baptism for repentance, not as a baptism to get into Judaism, but a baptism to get rid of your sin. And it was very specific. And even though you had all those people who had already been baptized, they all heard Peter's message, and they knew that even though it was 3,000 and they had to wait in the line, and just like us at Walmart, they were probably looking for the shortest line, they all knew that, hey, I had to be baptized again. Because it didn't matter whether or not I had been baptized before. Because the teaching that they had received, just like with those individuals in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 4. I mean, when he came across those individuals in Ephesus there who had only been exposed to John's baptism, remember what Paul said to them in verse 4. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because you can't be baptized right and taught wrong. They had been baptized into Judaism, but that was Judaism. They had been baptized with the repentance of John, they have been baptized with the baptism of repentance by John and John's disciples, but that wasn't the right teaching. And so today, as I stand before you, you might tell me that you've been baptized, but I'll challenge you and say you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins. If they taught you that when you had faith and that you believed, you were already saved, and that you're just being baptized as an outward show of an inward grace, and we'll do that at the end of the month. That's not the way they did it. Peter went around that place on the day of Pentecost urging themselves. He says, you need to save yourselves from this perverse generation. And the Bible says, those that received gladly his word were not waiting any more moments than they need to. They were being baptized because they knew that baptism was for the remission of their sins. Now, if you were baptized for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, then maybe you don't need to listen to me. But I'll say to you that if you're baptized for the right reason, you're going to understand that because you're going to clearly understand that teaching. And I'm saying to you today that there are people in Christendom that weren't taught that. Just like there were people in the day of Pentecost who had been baptized. Tush. But they hadn't been taught to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So guess what they had to do? They had to be baptized again. And so they waited in the shortest Walmart line. Tush. Because they knew that you couldn't be taught one thing and then that baptism be solid. So I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, because this is not one of those messages that I'm preaching because I want to be popular. This is a message that I'm preaching because hashtag from Peter to Patrick, it has to be preached. It's a message that it has to be delivered, hashtag from Peter to Patrick, because it's still right. And so if you were baptized in a way that they weren't baptized in that time, you got a question, have I been taught the right thing? Have I been baptized the right way? Do I need to do it the right way? Because when you read in the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Bible says, the like figure, baptism, doth now save us. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal. See, it's important that you understand what that word appeal, King James says answer. It's basically you making a claim, not prior to baptism, at baptism. You're making a claim that now you can truly have a good conscience because I've done exactly what I needed to do because I knew exactly what I needed to know at the time prior to baptism. And now I'm not following a doctrine that's a damnable doctrine that's taught me something different than what the Bible teaches, teaching me different to something that what Peter actually taught. With the people there clearly knew that this was a different type of baptism and that when Peter is saying your sins, you are still in your sins and you got to repent, truly repent, that means the washings that you've done in the past, they don't count now. Just like many of us would understand that if I actually applied for a job at Walmart, and then I left Walmart and I tried to apply for a job at Target. And I say to the people at Target, but I filled out an application at Walmart. The people at Target are going to say, you know what? There's the door. Don't let the door hit you on the way out because you got to understand that your application at Walmart has nothing to do with your application over here at Target. It's different. And when you know that this is the commencement of the Christian practice of baptism that saves for the remission of sin. Now, again, it's not the only thing that saves. You do need to believe. You do need to repent. You do need to make that noble and grand confession that we read later that the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And then when all of that happens, and you're baptized for the remission of your sins, then you will be a child of God. And the Bible says that God gives you the gift, the latter part of Acts 2:38, of the Holy Ghost. See, as a physical being, God is allowing us to borrow his breath. When God decides to take our breath away, we're dead. And so God is willing to give us our spiritual life by giving us the Holy Spirit as well. Because that Holy Spirit is going to allow us to be able to fulfill that spiritual life by guiding us in the ways that we need to be guided as we study God's word. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, there is a strong contemporary meaning that we get from the first gospel message. We all need to repent, and we all need to be baptized, buried in the watery grave of baptism. We need to kill the sin. The sins are being, when you go down into that water, the blood is working on you, the blood of Jesus. The water is there. The Holy Spirit is there, ready for you to rise up, Romans 6, 4, and 5, into a newness of life. We call upon you tonight that if this has pricked your heart, if this is causing you to scratch your head and to say, maybe that, I'm not sure if I've done this right, because it really looks like what this brother has taught is really true, then I need you to give me a call. Call me at 248-842-8185. Email me at ministermetlock@comcast.net. You heard Stephen, and if Stevie can repeat the email address that he gave, if you got questions about what we talked about tonight, then let's get into a discussion. I came from Memphis, and so that's an old school town where, you know, we'll talk to your preacher if your preacher needs to have a discussion on this subject. Because, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if there's one thing that we need to get right, you got to get your salvation right. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we got to get it right. Peter said long ago, repent and be baptized. And Patrick is repeating that old, revered, but still very true message today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for yet another opportunity to be able to deliver your holy and divine word. We're so thankful that as people may have been listening or may listen as they listen to the archived version of this video, that maybe, just maybe, they will take me up on my overture to call me, to text me, to email me, and to ask questions about what I've said, to discuss their understanding, and to be willing to reason with the scripture, with me, on what the scripture teaches about subjects like this. We want to thank Brother Butler for setting up special edition lessons that allow us to address these type of topics. Now, Father, help us to be everything that you would have us to be, as not only we deliver this word, but we also try to live a life that is indicative of the spirit from which we dwell. We're hopeful and prayerful that as others have listened, as others will listen, that their hearts will be pricked like those on Acts 2, that they'll be willing to say to me and to others that are like me, what shall we do? And that we'll be able to guide them in the appropriate and proper way. Thank you again for this venue. Thank you for giving us this day. And we hope that you allow us to rise up, to live a life tomorrow with a clean slate, knowing that we have a canvas in which we can do the things, we can think the things, we can say the things that bring you glory and honor on the next day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My life.
dark, I can't find my way. Lord, I know you hear my cry. And I know you will never forsake me. Since I came up out that water, the devil's been tempting me. I know the Bible says in James to resist him and he will flee. Lord, I'm so far away, I feel I'm out of your reach. Please open up my eyes so that I can see. Lord, I can't make it on my own. I need you, Jesus. Please guide me home. Here's my life. Please make it right. Lord, I offer up my life. Yeah. Times I've been struggling, need strength where I'm weak. This life is too hard for me. Guess I better start thinking. Without you, Lord, I can't make it. This pain that I feel, I can't take it. I'm on my knees, asking to deliver me. Not that you move this mountain, but give me the strength I need to climb higher and higher to my provider. Lord, I tried it by myself, but in the end, I need your help. Here is my life, just make it right, Lord, again.
Give it over to you, Jesus. I give it over to you, Lord. I give it over to you, Jesus. My life is. I give it over to you, Jesus. I give it over to you, Lord. I give it over to you, Jesus.
To the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast, and we certainly appreciate those who have been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio and also on social media. Brother Patrick, he was live on Facebook, and you can go to his Facebook page, and I shared his video on my Facebook page. You can also go to my Facebook page as well and see that presentation. Certainly appreciate the efforts that Brother Patrick put forth on the broadcast this evening. He always does a great job in his proclamation of the gospel of Christ, and we certainly appreciate him being a part of this radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just thrilled to be able to bring you a weekly broadcast, and it is our prayer that the lessons that are given on this radio show are beneficial to your spiritual lives, and that your relationship has been strengthened, not only because you're tuning into this radio show, but because you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show, we certainly appreciate you. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
This may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. It may be the last time. I don't know. This may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Special Edition.
In the beginning, God in charge of the heavens and the earth, without form, he chose 6 days to make the world, and then he rested one, looking at the space, the day, the night, the weather, the land, it's clear to understand, I realize the powers of God and the weakness of man, then I consider that was created.
Yeah.